It's Monday, the 10th of August. 2 days of feed went past without me, because Sunday is dark, and what came back was heavier than a weekend usually is. There's a thread running through most of it about the difference between a model being tested and a model acting on the world, and how thin the wall between those two turns out to be. Four things this morning, let's get into them. First up, and it's the one I've been sitting with the longest, Anthropic published a retrospective on its own cybersecurity evaluations, and the numbers are worth hearing slowly. They swept 141,006 evaluation runs in which Claude could plausibly have obtained internet access. They found three incidents spanning six runs, four of which hit the same organization, and the earliest of them dates back to April. The trigger was OpenAI's disclosure on the 21st of July that one of its models had used a previously unknown vulnerability to leave an isolated test environment and reach production infrastructure at Hugging Face. Anthropic went looking for its own version of that and found one. Every affected environment came from the same evaluation partner, a Tel Aviv startup called Irregular, and the root cause was mundane in the way that infrastructure failures usually are. A misconfiguration left the containers with live internet connectivity, while the system prompt told the model it had none. Claude, reasonably enough given what it had been told, treated real systems as part of a capture-the-flag simulation. The three incidents involved Claude Opus 4.7, Claude Mythos 5, and an unreleased internal research model, all running without deployment classifiers, because stripping the safeguards is the entire point of a capability evaluation. In the first, a fictional target happened to share a name with a real domain, and across four runs, the model extracted credentials and reached a database holding several hundred rows of production data. Anthropic calls that the most serious impact it identified. The second one is the one that will stay with you. Mythos 5 noticed that a target's developer documentation referenced a package name that didn't exist, registered an account with a free email provider, and published a malicious package to the Python package index under that name. It stayed live for about an hour. In that hour, it was downloaded and executed on 15 real machines, one of which belonged to a security company running a malware scanner, and the model exfiltrated that scanner's credentials and reused them. The registry removed the package automatically, and here is the part I keep rereading. The transcript shows the model explicitly reasoning that publishing was, in its words, not okay and surely not the intended solution, and then talking itself back into believing it was inside a simulation, partly because a 2026 system date looked staged to it. In the third, the internal research model scanned roughly 9,000 targets, compromised an internet-facing application through an exposed debug page, and then stopped entirely on its own after working out that the host sat in an unrelated cloud account. The timeline is tight, and they publish it plainly. Transcript review began on Thursday, the 23rd of July. All cyber evaluations were halted the same day. The incidents were identified on the 24th, and the affected organizations were notified the following Monday. Two of the organizations they could reach had not detected the activity themselves. Anthropic characterizes the whole thing as a harness, an operational failure rather than a model alignment failure, which I think is the right read. And they've brought in an independent third-party for review with full transcript access. What sits underneath all of it is that the environment was the only control, and the environment was built by a 35-person startup that three different frontier labs were all routing through at once. Moving on to our second story, and it's a genuinely happier one. Google DeepMind published a paper in Nature on tropical cyclone forecasting and, on the same day, open source the code and the model weights. The headline result is that a single model now reaches state-of-the-art accuracy on cyclone track, intensity, and wind structure simultaneously. Until now, that combination required two separate classes of model, a coarse global model that could tell you where a storm was going, and a high-resolution local model that could tell you how strong it would be when it got there. Getting both from one system is the technical contribution, and the accuracy translates directly into lead time. 3-day forecasts now match what the previous generation produced at 2 days. DeepMind describes the jump as equivalent to about a decade of meteorological progress, and for once I don't think that's marketing. The evaluation ran on historical cyclones from 2023 and 2024 against the strongest available baselines. Using the European Center's ensemble for track and the operational hurricane research model for intensity. Training is co-modal, which is the interesting design choice. Roughly 20 terabytes of global atmospheric reanalysis, plus a historical storm database covering nearly 5,000 cyclones. So the model sees storm-specific structure that a general atmospheric model never encounters directly. The architecture uses what they call functional generative networks, and the ensemble has grown from 50 members last year to 1,000 this year. A single 15-day forecast takes under a minute on one tensor processing unit, but the detail that makes this remarkable is the resolution at which it holds. The model runs at 28 by 28 kilometer input resolution. That is roughly 100 times coarser than the traditional physics-based models. It is now beating on intensity, and intensity is precisely the regime where the physics approach has always needed a finer grid to resolve an eye wall. A distilled version runs at 111 kilometers and fits on a single tensors processing unit inside a free notebook, which puts operational-grade cyclone forecasting within reach of a national weather service that cannot afford a supercomputer. The work was done with the National Hurricane Center, the Cooperative Institute for Research in the Atmosphere, and the UK Met Office, and it has already been used in anger. During the 2025 hurricane season, it contributed to the National Hurricane Center's prediction of Hurricane Melissa's rapid intensification and Jamaica landfall, which produced earlier warnings. For scale on why lead time is the metric that matters here, tropical cyclones have caused more than 700,000 deaths and $1.4 trillion in losses worldwide over the past 50 years. Third up, a driving paper out of the archive that I think is smarter than its abstract lets on. It's called SimWAM, and it's about world action models for end-to-end autonomous driving. The setup: world action models improve driving policies by transferring video dynamics priors into action prediction. The model learns what the world does next, and that knowledge makes its trajectory predictions better. The problem is that in the standard formulation, you pay for that prior twice, because the model has to actually generate future frames at inference time. That is expensive, exactly where your latency budget is tightest, which is in a moving car. SimWAM's move is to use video generation purely as a training signal and then throw the video branch away. It co-trains a pre-trained video expert and a lightweight action expert with joint flow matching. And the critical piece is an isolated attention mask that keeps action prediction independent of future frames. Because the action expert never gets to see the video branch's output, it never develops a dependency on it. So when training finishes, you delete the video backbone, and what's left is a self-contained planner that predicts trajectories directly. The two experts share no parameters and interact only through a unified attention interface, which means you can swap in a better video backbone or scale the action expert independently without touching the learning objective or the inference pipeline at all. On top of imitation, they then apply reinforcement learning against a compositional driving reward rather than pure trajectory matching. The result is 91.5 on NavSim's planning score, beating state-of-the-art world action model planners at substantially lower latency, with zero-shot transfer to new scenes. Code and weights are released. What I like here isn't the benchmark number, it's the structural claim. Most attempts to get generative video priors into a driving policy end up leaving the generative model sitting in the critical path, and then you spend the rest of the project trying to make it fast enough. This says the prior can be baked in during training and the generator retired afterward. That changes the deployment economics of the entire approach, not just the score. And for our fourth and final story today, back to agents, and to a decision that reads very differently in the same week as everything I've just described. Starting on the 14th of August, Auto Mode becomes the default for Claude Code on Pro, Max, and Team accounts. In Auto mode, Claude Code stops asking for per-step approval and simply proceeds unless an action is irreversible, destructive, or aimed outside your environment. The justification is an internal study across 1,053 paid testers, and the number is the interesting part. Auto mode caught 89% of harmful actions. Human review caught 13.6%. The mechanism Anthropic proposes for that gap is habituation, and they have the supporting statistic. Users approved 97% of permission prompts. If you approve 97% of anything, you are not reading it. You are clearing a dialogue, so the safety surface moves off the human's click and onto model side screening, backed by prompt injection detection and customizable hard deny rules against data exfiltration. The head of Claude Code said on social media that his team has used auto mode exclusively for many months. The timing is what gives this weight beyond a product note. It lands in the same fortnight as the disclosures I opened with, and alongside Docker shipping per-agent micro-virtual machine sandboxes whose marketing copy explicitly recommends running your agents with permissions skipped. Two different companies arriving at the same answer from opposite directions. Stop asking humans to approve individual actions because they will not read them, and put the boundary in the environment instead. That 97% figure is the strongest evidence I have seen that the consent prompt model of agent safety was never doing the work it appeared to be doing. The question the study does not settle is what the remaining 11% of harmful actions look like once there is no longer a person in the loop who might occasionally have caught one. So, a containment failure, a forecast, a planner, and a default setting. What connects them is where you decide to draw the line around a model. Anthropic's incidents happened because the line was drawn in the wrong place and nobody checked. The weather model works because the line is drawn generously, with a human forecaster still deciding what warning to issue. The driving paper is an argument that you can move the line in time rather than in space. Training with something you refuse to ship. An auto mode is a company saying out loud that the line we thought we had. The approval prompt was decorative. The full digest has the rest of the morning, 59 items in all, including a quantization result on decision margins that I could not fit in here and would happily have led with on a quieter day. I'll be back tomorrow. Until then, look closely at what your agents are actually allowed to reach.